God. Why are you ready to go? Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, are you ready to go? I told you a little bit earlier, I said, you know, church is where we get our change. Church is where we get our help. And you know, you think you just say that, Pastor Mike, to keep me interested. No, I'm here to tell you that the place that I came from was a pit. Oh, it was a deep, dark place, you know. And I got into church, praise God. And the things that I heard that came from my pastor's mouth, oh, they were such light to me and hope to me. And I took those words and I started to do those words and I applied those words to my life. And guess what happened? My finances changed. My mind changed. My body changed. My circumstances changed. I went from darkness to light, praise God. I went from poverty to prosperity. I went from sickness to health. I went from fear to joy and to courage and strength, praise God. It's true. And so what we're sharing here tonight and every night from this pulpit, if you'll apply it to your life, months from now, you won't even recognize your life and say, wow, what God has done in a short time. In 3 months, you'll say, wow, I'm in a different place. In 6 months, you'll say, wow, I'm in a different place. A year will go by and you'll look back and say, I don't even know how God did all this, but He did it. If you'll be faithful to sit under the watering of the Word and apply it to your life, the same thing that happened to me is the same thing that happened to you. Why? God's not doesn't play favorites with His kids. He wants to bless you. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you go to Matthew 25 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. You know, it's hard for us preachers to be in meetings. You sit there all week listening to someone else. You're just raring to preach yourself. So I'm ready. I'm like that bull in the gate. They just let me out, you know. So watch out. Bull in a china shop coming through. Knocking the devil on his rump. Praise God. Going to give him a black eye tonight. Hallelujah. He hates that we're here. Because this is your answers, praise God. This is your help. When the world says it can't be done, God says it can. When the world says it's impossible, God says it's possible. Hallelujah. Praise His name. So Matthew 25 and verse 14, Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for all that You've done. Father, You're doing so much now and You'll continue to do so much. Now, Lord, we know that our help is the Word of God. What we do with the Word determines the outcome of our life. Now, Father, as we get into the Word tonight, I ask for help. Lord, I'm just a branch. You're the vine. I can't do anything apart from You. So, Lord, as I open my mouth, I'm asking You to fill it with words from heaven. Lord, I thank You that I'll speak as the oracles of God tonight. Just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And, Lord, things will come out of my mouth that will hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And Father, it'll be specific to what they're going through, what they need to hear, and it'll be supernatural. Father, I don't know what everybody needs to hear. I don't know what everybody's going through, but You do. And You know exactly what needs to come out of my mouth that will bring peace to them, that will bring encouragement to them, that will bring answers to them, that will bring correction to them if they're going the wrong way and they need it. So Father, we thank You for a supernatural service tonight. And Lord, we just give You the praise. We don't look to a man. We don't look to the name on the building. We look to You, Lord. And so we thank You for our help tonight. We say we're going to be changed. We'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Matthew 25 and verse 14 says this. I'm going to read down through a bunch of verses. We do have the Bible up on the TV for you. If you didn't bring your Bible, I do encourage you to bring your Bible. But we put those on there for newer people. You know, sometimes people don't know to bring their Bible. But also, we want to show you that we're preaching right from the Word of God. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and to another 1. And every man according to several his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded them with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 also gained 2 more. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reckons with them. And he said unto them that received the 5 talents, he came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, You delivered unto me 5. Behold, I've gained 5 more besides the ones You gave me. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, You delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man. That means not a very nice man. Reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. And lo, here's what you have. Here's your talent back. His Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. You ought to have at least put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that has ten. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even what he does have. So here we see a story, and Pastor Nancy talked about this week, how we want to stand before Jesus and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And she brought out the fact that, you know, we focus on the faithful part. But he didn't just say faithfulness. He said good and faithfulness. Well, she was talking about how if you're good at your job, for your boss to say you're good at your job, you can't be a dummy at your job. You wouldn't know how to do it. That wouldn't be good at your job. And she used the term skillful. Have to be skillful in your job. And the Lord, as I was praying and seeking God to share, was building upon this in my spirit, told me to teach and to help people to become more skillful in an area. And we're going to look at it in a second. Praise God. But notice this. There were three men here. Each were given a certain amount of money. And how many of you know the one that got five and the one that got two, they were skillful in increasing their Lord's money and getting more, right? They were skillful with what they were given. And when they were skillful with what they were given more of what they were given. And the one that wasn't skillful, he didn't get to even keep that. And what he did have, the Bible says, will be taken from him. Well, I want to show you something that God has given us. Because the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is as if. And so he's saying in this story that when God gives something, he expects us to be skillful with what he's given. He expects us to produce with what he's given us, praise God. Well, the Bible tells us that he's given us something. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, and I want to show you what he's given us. And we're going to find out an area tonight of how to be more skillful in this area, and it'll be a blessing to you. Tonight's going to help you so much.
Amen.
Romans 12. I mean, I thought so much of tonight that I was willing to drive an hour here and drive an hour back just to tell it to you. I did it. I'm telling you, I did. I don't have a home over here 5 minutes away. It takes me an hour to get here, but it was worth it because it's going to help me so much. Romans 12 and verse 3. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt. Just like the man dealt five talents, he dealt two talents, he dealt one talent. The Bible says that God has dealt to every man. Everybody say, every man. That's every single person. God has dealt to every person the measure of faith. Now, if the kingdom of heaven is as if the Lord hands out and you're to do something with it, he says, I've dealt to everybody the measure of faith. Well, if the kingdom of heaven as is, when he's dealt to every person, now he's talking to the fact that every one of his children has faith. Did you see that there? We can no longer say we don't have faith. You have faith. The Bible says he gave it to you. Now, of course, we know, being a faith church, and we've talked about these things, that we have some things, and we're going to look at one of the areas tonight, that we have to do with our faith, right? We have to strengthen our faith. We have to build our faith. We have to grow our faith. Now, I want to just say something real quick. Go with me to Matthew 17 and verse 20. Real quick, I want to say something about growing our faith and having more faith. Because I've made the statement before, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing in Romans 10, and hearing by the word. And so I've always made the statement that if you hear more, you'll get more faith and you'll have more victory. But I need to qualify what I mean by that. Because it's not about For example, you need healing or you need finances. It's not about, well, if I can just stockpile in a faith savings account, once I hit a certain faith level of, then God will do it for me. No, I want you to see that when it's talking about, when I talk about more faith, I'm not talking about like an amount of faith building up. I'm talking about your own personal faith growing and getting strengthened and being fortified. Because when you're in faith, that's all you need. That's all you need is to be in faith, because the Bible says it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to do something great. Amen. What does it say, Matthew 17:20? As Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you'd have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. How big's a mustard seed? It's tiny, isn't it? But he said, if you just have a, see, because sometimes, and maybe I haven't qualified it enough, so maybe I take some responsibility on this, we think, oh, I just got to get my faith to a certain level, and get once I get to a certain level, then God will do it. No, no, no. Your job is to just get into faith, because once you're into faith, he says, just the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed will cause you to say unto a mountain, be removed to a yonder place, and it will move, glory to God. What's he saying? The force of faith, even a small little thing of faith, has the power or the ability to move a mountain. So when we talk about more faith, I'm not talking about stockpiling in a savings account and getting God to look and say, okay, now they have enough faith, now I can do it. No, if we can get you into true faith, it'll move them out. Does that make sense to you? Praise God. Well, we've been given, the Bible says in Romans 12:3, we've been given a measure of faith. Now, just like that gentleman gave 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, we see that when God gives something, some people are skillful with it and increase. Well, go back to Romans 12:3. Oh, you already did. Thank you. Romans 12:3. Why is it that some people, you can call them faith giants, and they're receiving from God, and mountains are moving, and sicknesses are going away, and money's coming in, and favor, and things are moving and changing? How is it that some are doing that, and some it doesn't look like, and nothing's happened in their life, and things are staying the same, and nothing's changing? It's year after year the same thing. They're not going forward. They're not even staying neutral. They're going backwards. How is it? Well, how is it that somebody could give 5 talents and one could go make 5, one could give 2 and go make 2, and one could give 1 and do nothing with it? It came down to what? They weren't skillful with what they were given. Well, God's given everybody faith. But let me tell you something. Just because you have something doesn't mean you're skillful with it. I guess this is going to be pick on my son tonight, service. Caleb has a compound bow. He bought a compound bow with his money. Still owes me some money. I'm going to make him pay it, too. I'm going to make him. He wanted that thing, you know. So he bought a compound bow, and I hunt with a compound bow. He's got a compound bow, but doesn't mean he's good with it. He's not good with that thing. I mean, he gets real close and can hit sometimes, you know. I think he stopped because he was tired of losing arrows. I haven't seen him shoot that thing in forever. I don't know why he's not doing it. But he has a compound bow. He's not skillful with it. Man, I can go back to 60 yards, and man, it looks long in my driveway. People drive by, they look at me, where's the target? It's way back there, man. I can put a group just right there, just right there. Every time, well, why? Take a time and come skillful with it. Come skillful with it. Well, God's given everybody faith. Doesn't mean everybody's skillful with it, but everybody has it. Isn't that amazing? He said, faith is a mustard seed, can move a mountain. Do you think that the measure of faith that God gave you was at least as big as a mustard seed? I'm guessing it was. Do you know that you have on the inside of you faith to move mountains? You do. Not just Pastor Mike. Not just Pastor Nancy. You, because you're an every man. I don't think you're an alien. You're an every man. You qualify, praise God. Inside of you. But how come you say, I'm struggling with that? How come you just haven't become skillful with it yet? Amen. Praise God. So let's get skillful with it. Go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Oh, the word's good, isn't it? Amen. We're getting help tonight. Amen. Thank you, Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You want to go to a church like this that teaches you the Bible. Teach you how to get things done in your life. And the thing that I don't want to say pride myself, but I know where the Lord's called me is to help people with their everyday life. Listen, I don't teach on Revelation and the rapture. Could I teach on that? Sure. Am I completely skillful like some teachers are? No. But I don't need to know about the rapture. I'll find out about the rapture when I get to the rapture. I don't need to teach about the tribulation. I'm not even going to be here. You're not even going to be here for the tribulation. Praise God. I don't need to know about certain things in the Bible, but where God's called me is to strengthen the believers on a daily basis, give you something on a daily basis to strengthen, to fortify your life. So why? You can be a bigger blessing so we can tear up the devil's kingdom. Praise God. But look at Hebrews 6 and verse 12. It says this in Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now notice it says to inherit the promises of God, which notice it's plural. That means more than just salvation, healing, prosperity, joy, victory, favor, all these things that God's put in His Word. He said, we receive them by faith. We know that, right? That's why we got to become skillful with it. But I want to say this, put it this way. Faith is how we access the goodies from heaven. God has some goodies. And the way that you tap into those goodies to be able to be blessed and to have that healing power flow and to be able to have that financial provision flow and that favor and that protection, that blessing for your children, that everything that you need from Him is through faith. How do we get it? Through faith, it says. How did you get saved? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, by grace are you saved. It was God's grace, His mercy, His power, His goodness, but it came through faith. Amen. His grace flows through your faith for your healing, for your protection, for your provision, for your kids. That's how you receive God from God. You could say it this way. Faith is the currency of heaven. Heaven's got some things on the shelf, some healing on the shelf, and some prosperity and victory and peace and a job and a vehicle and a wardrobe. Everything it's got for you. Well, the way you get it's not by begging. The way you give it's not by a moaning and a groaning. We receive the promises of God through faith and patience. We go to Him with faith. It's like going to Walmart with a $10 bill. You can buy something. It's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if we'll apply, this is what, if you'll apply faith to any situation, it will change every situation. Amen, it will. Faith's never failed yet, praise God. But let me just say this now. This is what the Lord told me to preach tonight. He said, help the people in becoming skillful in the side of faith called patience. Because the Word says that we receive through faith and patience. And I'm here to tell you as a pastor in dealing with people and the temptations and the pressure that comes against me in my faith journey. This is the area that people fumble and stumble and trip up in their faith journey the most is the patience side of faith. And He said it goes with it. They're connected together. They're not separate, praise God. They're one. Listen, the peanut butter and jelly out of sandwich, they're one. They're not separate. They're one in that sandwich, praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews. Well, we'll say here. Go to Hebrews 6. We'll go to verse 13. Notice what He says here. For God... When God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now, what's the promise talking about? When He told Abraham, you're going to have a child. When He told Abraham, you're going to have a child, Abraham was an old man. Sarah was an old lady, his wife. And He said this, He said, when God made a promise, He could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, verse 14, multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he, Abraham, notice this, had patiently endured, he received the promise. Well, remember what verse 12 said, Hebrews 6 and verse 12, that we received the promises of God through faith and patience. Well, what was a promise of God to Abraham? You're going to have a child. How did he get it? He entered into faith, and after he patiently endured, he received the promise. How do you think you're going to get what you need from God? You're going to have to get into faith. And then what comes with faith? Because the peanut butter and jelly, they're together. Patience comes with faith. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen overnight a lot of times. It doesn't happen instantaneously. Have you noticed? Hallelujah. But this trips people up. Now, he said after he patiently endured. You have to know something. Faith is an endurance race. Faith is an endurance race. Now, why is God up there in heaven saying, just wait a little longer, just wait a little? No. Remember his Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, my promises are yes and amen. He's ever ready to bless you. He's looking, in fact, 2 Chronicles 16 says, looking to bless you. Well, there's different things at times what take long. Number, you know, one of the things is we got to make sure we're even in faith, because you don't receive without faith. You might think you're in faith, but just because you think you're in faith doesn't mean you're in faith.
That's right.
Amen. Just because I think I'm a tree. If I think I'm a tree, does that make me a tree? No. I'll find out real quick I'm not a tree. Find out real quick if you're in faith or not, right? There's times that there's opposition in the way. There's times that timing plays a role. Where there's a timing on things, and sometimes have you ever gotten to something and realized, man, I kind of see the full picture now. I'm glad it went the way it did.
Amen.
You know, it took us from June of 2000. It was from June until March of 2013. June of 2012 to March of 2013 to get into our home that in June of 2012 we agreed upon, and it seemed like it was taking forever. It seemed like it just wasn't working, and I'm in faith and all these things. And we get to the end, and I thought, oh my gosh, that was a good reason it waited that long. That thing worked out perfectly. That timing worked out perfectly. Some things have a specific time, and God knows better.
Amen.
That wasn't him saying, no, I just want you to keep waiting and staying out of the house that I told you was yours. No, God, I put my trust and faith in him and had an appointed time, and when it happened, everything was perfect. But it's an endurance race. And you know what I know? Have you ever heard of these ultra marathons? It's where people run hundreds of miles. Ultra marathons? How in the world do they even run a marathon? 26.2 miles of running? Did you hear about that guy that, I don't remember where he was from, that just broke the all-time record of the marathon? Have you ever been on a treadmill before? Have you ever set your treadmill to 10? No, because you'll fall off. Set it to 13. He ran 26.2 miles at a 13 rate. The whole race, that's what his speed was. How? Is that a thing? For him it was. But I hear about these ultra marathons. But here's the thing. I'm here to tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I've heard about one guy that just ran 250 straight miles. He had to do it in, can't remember the time frame it was, and he made it. 250 straight miles of running. I got some good news for all of you right now. Every single one of us could sign up for that race.
Come on.
You could.
Come on. Yeah.
Every single one of us could staple that little number to your chest.
Sure.
Every single one of us could go up to the starting line.
Come on.
Every single one of us could go through the starting line.
Yeah.
But that's not where the problem lies.
Come on.
I don't know how many miles it'd take you to drop out, but I'm going to say you ain't going to make 250.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it. It's an endurance race. Well, I'm here to tell you, with faith, every single one of us can get fired up about that God will meet our needs when Pastor preaches on it. Every single one of us can get fired up when Pastor talks about God wants to heal your body, change your kids' lives, turn your situation around. God's got a job for you. God's got a spouse for you. God's got a life for you. Every one of us can walk out of church and say, my God, I'm ready to go. Just run this race. I am fired up. I'm pumped up. I'm ready to run through a wall. But faith's an endurance race. And every one of us can get at the starting line. 250, here we go. Let's do it. Every single one of you could do that. But oh, I'm here to tell you, there's a mile one, and then there's going to be a mile two, and there's a mile three, and there's a mile 10, and there's a mile 30. And I'm telling you, if you make it that far, you're not going to be the same as you were in the beginning. Well, we all run out of here. Oh, my goodness, Lord wants to meet my needs. Yay, that's good because I got bills stacked to the ceiling. Oh, Lord wants to heal my body. That's good because I got symptoms coming out my ears. Oh, God wants to do a thing in my kids and my family. That's great because, boy, they're off the rails. So that's, and we all got here, and that's the starting line, right? You got faith, you're in faith, you're at the starting line. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, there's a tomorrow. Amen. There's a tomorrow night when you're laying in bed and nothing's changed and your body's hurting. There's a next week when the bills are still stacked up and you don't have the money in the account to pay for them. There's a next month when the situation hasn't turned or looked any different and you're still getting the same reports. What are you going to do then? That's where people drop the ball. What's that called? Not being skillful with faith. Why? Because with faith, you can't separate the faith and the patience. It's an endurance at times. Praise God. And you can't quit. You say, oh no, God will just have mercy on me. God will just let me be a doubter. No, he won't. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, look what it says. And then I'm going to give you three things the Lord told me to help you with tonight in this area. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, there's a seasons. Man, Pastor Nancy just told me I'm about getting ready to come into some seasons. And she didn't say seasons of poverty, thank God. Seasons. Landmarks, praise the Lord. I receive that word in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 and verse 9, he says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. See, there's a season. There's a season. You shall reap. Notice this, if. Not if, not if God just has mercy on your unbelieving soul. Not if you moan and groan and whine and cry to him enough and things get bad. If no, you will reap if you faint not. Well, again, the ultra marathon runners and people, all of us at the starting line, we wouldn't be fainting at the starting line. It'd be different for each of us. What mile we'd start to faint. But eventually, if we were forced to keep running, I'm just dare to say a marathon, a half marathon for me, a 5K. You get there, and eventually, if you're forced to keep going, you're going to faint. You can't afford to faint with faith. You won't get to the finish line of what you want. What's the finish line? Your manifestation. It's showing up. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, this is what the Lord told me to do, is to help you with some things to be skillful in this part, because this is the area people struggle. Go to Romans 12 and verse 2 real quick. Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. What's transformed? Transformed from what? From the bad, from who you are into who he is. From who you are into who he wants you to be, right? You know how transformation's going to come? Transformation doesn't come by, you become a Christian, you are transformed spiritually, you're now going to heaven. But when I was transformed as a Christian, guess what? I was still addicted to alcohol. I was still a drug user. I still had wrong thinking. I still was addicted to gambling. Oh, absolutely. I was born again, and when I partook of those things, something felt different. But the transformation doesn't come in your life except for your spirit man at the new birth. The only thing that changed at the new birth was your spirit man, but your mind and your body stayed the same. Well, we got to be transformed. How? He says, by the renewing of your mind. And if you'll do that, you'll prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how do we renew our mind? Well, real quick, Kim, I pull up Joshua 1 and verse 8. What is renewing our mind? That means thinking different. Thinking like God thinks. You know what God's up in heaven not doing? He's not up in heaven when you're at the starting line of your faith project and he sees the end from the beginning, because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's already been to the future and back. And he knows that space and time for whatever reason it is. He knows that. I heard Pastor Nancy say this week, it's true. Faith's not concerned with the time or the calendar. Because when you're in faith, you believe you received right now. You believe it's yours. Well, God's not up in heaven knowing the natural amount of time that passes from the starting line of that faith journey to the end of that manifestation. He's not up there, oh my gosh, what are we going to do about that space and time? Why? He's not tripped up by His own word. He's renewed to the fact that this is how it works. And if you'll get your mind renewed, what's that mean? Thinking like God thinks concerning faith, the patience part won't trip you up either. Hallelujah! Praise God. Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night, day and night, day and night, to observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall your way be made prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Well, faith brings the promises of God. That would be likened to prosperity and good success. How do you get there? Being in the Word over and over. What does being in the Word over and over have to do with it turning into prosperity and good success? When you're in the Word over and over and over and over and over again, James said it this way, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your minds or your souls. Well, how did he say to get transformed? Renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? You hear the Word over and over again. What's hearing the Word over and over again? Telling you how God thinks, God's perspective, God's way of thinking, God's way of doing. You got to renew your mind. And God's not tripped up by faith, and patience is attached to faith. We get tripped up by the patience part. We're excited about the beginning part, but it's the patience part that we get tripped up on. Well, we need to renew our mind. Patience is not a bad thing. In fact, real quick, go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, before I get into the three things the Lord told me to share with you. James chapter 1. Wouldn't that be funny if everybody brought broccoli cheese soup tonight? We'll have a broccoli cheese soup off. We'll find out whose is the best tonight. Right now, we'll do it. James chapter 1. Say, why do you say these things, Pastor Mike? Because they go shooting through my brain, and someone needs to hear them. I started thinking, what if everybody brought broccoli cheese soup? Or have a competition. That's what we're going to do. While you're flipping through the Bible, that's what's going through my head. James chapter 1, look what it says in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What's that mean? Various tests and trials. I mean, if you just renew your mind to that, you'd stop complaining. When things came your way, you wouldn't be up in arms and, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Because he didn't say, go around, what am I going to do? And, oh, this is so hard, and help me, Lord. No, he said, when tests and trials come your way, count it joy. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh or produces patience. That's what that word worketh means. Verse 4, now we think patience is bad, but the Bible... Remember, because God sees things through the scope of His Word. He told you, renew your mind to how I think, and it'll lead to prosperity and good success. He says in James chapter 1, verse 4, let patience have her perfect work. Why? What happens if you let patience have her perfect work? That you will be complete. You see that? You will be perfect, that's what perfect means, complete, and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. In that work of patience, things are being burned out of you, things are being put into you, things are being worked into you, not just for that situation, but for the situation as you keep increasing. It's a perfect work. Now let's help you here, because this is where people fumble the faith ball. Here's the three things the Lord told me to share with you. These three things, if you'll renew your mind to these three things. Now, here's what's going to help you. For those of you right now you're in a faith battle, what does that mean you're in a faith battle? You've released your faith and nothing's happened. The natural is still the same. Your body has not changed. You're feeling the same symptoms. Doctors are saying the same thing. Your finances don't look any different. The situation in your life and the circumstances... Naturally, nothing's changed. Well, you're in that patient side of faith right now. And so it'll help you right now where you're at. Because this is where you can't fumble the ball. And for those of you that are not, when you enter into a faith thing, you're going to remember, hey, good old Pastor Mikey Anderson preached me a sermon about this. Are you ready to be helped? I'm not going to help you if you're not ready. Are you ready? Okay, I believe you. James chapter, okay, so anyways, renew your mind to these three things. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hebrews 6 and verse 12, we've already talked about it, but I want to go back there. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. First thing you need to renew your mind to, look what it says here. You be not slothful, follow them through faith and patience. Through faith and patience. That's the word of God. It's not changing. It's the way it is.
Amen.
Number one, renew your mind to this. Patience is part of the process. What do I mean by that? It's normal. Now you say, I don't understand. Well, when I explain, you will understand. See, if you don't have your mind renewed, that just as much getting excited and releasing your faith and confessing as then being in a waiting period, if you don't have your mind renewed that it is completely normal for nothing to change to the eyes. They're changing behind the scenes spiritually. And God's working on it. If you don't understand that it's normal for days to go by and nothing to be changed. Weeks to go by, maybe months or maybe even years to go by in certain situations if it's a timing factor. If you don't understand that faith is part of the process, patience is part of the process, you'll be tripped up in that. Because in that process, you'll start to doubt your own faith. Oh, it's not happening, so I must not be in faith. Or you're in patience. Well, God must not be working on my situation. Or you're just in the normal part of the process of faith called patience. See, if you don't know that it's normal, your mind will mess with you. The devil will mess with you. Circumstances will mess with you. Because a month will go by and you'll be in such full faith. And when nothing is turning and nothing is changing, the temptation will be, what am I doing wrong? And what's that called? Fainting. Well, God must not be working for me. That's called fainting. And the Bible says, if you faint, you won't reap. I had some tests done a while back. And I don't remember what it was. It was some kind of scan. They put me through some machine. But anyways, before I got it done, they did like an IV type thing on my arm and they put some fluids in me. And this is what they told me. And I'm so glad they told me this. They said, you're going to feel like you're peeing your pants. That's what they said. I don't know if you ever had that test before? They said, it's going to start getting warm. It's going to feel like you peed your pants. I thought, that's stupid. All of a sudden, I thought, I'm like, am I peeing my pants right now? I think I'm peeing my pants. I get out of the machine, I'm like, I didn't pee my pants. But I'll tell you what, I didn't get tripped up. If he had never said anything to me, if he had never told me I would have felt like peeing my pants, I'd have been so embarrassed. I'd have been in that machine thinking, oh Lord, hope the machine breaks. I hope he gets called on lunch break. Just let me run away. I peed my pants. He's going to think I got scared in the tube or something. But because he told me, I did feel like I peed my pants, but here he told me that I did pee my pants. So I thought, that's okay. He said this is normal. I still checked, you know, because it felt so real. It felt so real. But I'm so thankful that I knew about it. And you're going to be thankful when your pastor tells you. Now, let me give you the opposite end of this. Want to hear a story? Okay, I'll tell you a story. Praise God. You want to hear a story? I took Caleb, this is again, pick on Caleb night, I guess. Took Caleb, my 9-year-old, hunting. And he doesn't have his mind renewed to something yet. He's excited about killing deer. And we sat there yesterday morning. I kept him out of school, you know. Woke him up in the middle of about 5 in the morning. I said, buddy, you're not, or 5:30 in the morning, well, I don't remember what it was. You're not going to school today. He was pumped. Could hardly see, you know. I just flick all the lights on. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. I'm blind, my son, you know, but he's kind of excited, you know, a little bit about it until he realizes crazy dad came in. But we go hunting, we sit there for 3 hours. And, of course, you heard the story about walking around. So the plan was, we didn't get one in the morning, let's go back at night. Night's good, you know, they feed at nighttime. And so I could tell Caleb was kind of hemming and hawing about going hunting, and I told him, buddy, listen, I don't want you to feel pressured. I don't put a demand on if kids want to play sports, great. They don't, great. If they want to be hunt, great. If they don't, whatever. You know, they have their own interests and things. They're going to always be in line with the word morality. Of course, you understand what I'm talking about. But he likes it, wants to go. So I said, buddy, no pressure for me. If you don't want to go hunting tonight, that's fine. And I think that kind of gave him, and this is what he said to me. He said, Dad, I think I'm going to take the night off. Now let's qualify that statement. Number one, he's nine. Has barely any responsibilities at all at nine. He has some, but not like a 40-year-old, right? He didn't have to go to school. All we did was go hunting, and he came home rested, hung out, played his iPad, hung out, made paper footballs, went out, kicked the football. He take the night off. Well, that was code for, I don't like this whole sitting for hours and not seeing anything. Now see, the problem why that tripped him up is because his mind's not renewed that that's part of the process. You don't go out every single time and in 5 minutes harvest something. It just doesn't not how it works. There's times you sit there for hours and hours. But I try to tell him as we're sitting there, I can tell he's getting a little, you know, myth that we're not seeing anything. I'm like, buddy, here's the cool thing about hunting. And I said, you know that big, huge buck on my wall? I said, I had a long, hard season. And I went out one night at 5 o'clock at night after the time change and it gets dark at 5:30. I said, I've been hunting all year. It didn't seem like anything. I said, in 30 seconds, everything changed for my hunting career. I said, that's the thing, buddy. You don't see, you can't see it, right? I said, but over the hill, there might be one coming to you, and in 10 seconds, everything can change. That's what I told him. But see, he's got to get his mind renewed to it, that the fact that, okay, there's times you go out and you sit there, you don't see anything. But you keep sitting there because you stay in the game because there's a suddenly. And let me tell you something about your God. He's a God of suddenlies. He's a God of suddenlies. And you sit there and you think, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. No, no, you just sit right there in faith. You don't get off your faith stand. You stay right on your faith stand and you wait and that suddenly will come, praise God. Why? God is faithful. Hallelujah. But if you don't know that faith and patience go together, you'll question, you'll think, well, certainly 6 months has gone by and it hasn't, what's wrong with me? No. No, you're just in the patient side of it. I'll help you with some things at the end that can balance some things. But that's number one. You got to renew your mind to that. Number two, go to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. I'm just going to say this right now just so you know. I'm preaching the same message tomorrow morning in South Dayton. Why? Because that's what the Spirit of God said to do. That's what the Spirit of God said to do. And we need to hear this over and over again. Because some people are in things that you don't see anything changing. Well, let me help you with that. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we, who? The Christian. We walk by faith. Well, what does the Bible say about faith? For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what you can't see. He says we walk by faith and not by what we see. Well, a lot of times things that God has spoken to our heart are spoken to us by the Word that we're healed. We're not seeing healing. But we don't walk by what we see. By what we feel, by what we think. God says He'll meet all our needs, but in the natural, we don't see that happening. God speaks something in your heart. I have this for you. But in the natural, it doesn't look like it's happening. Well, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Now, here's what I want you to see about this. You have to renew your mind to this. Remember that faith, and what is faith? Your belief in something. It's of the unseen realm. That means when you're in faith, in that patient side, you're in the patient side because the manifestation or the seen part of what you're believing for has not shown up yet. So the patient side is a whole lot of unseen time. You got to renew your mind to that because there will be a lot of seeing, feeling, and thinking of what is exactly opposite of what you're believing. And let me tell you something. Those feelings, those things, those thoughts, they talk and they talk loud. And you've been in faith for something and a year goes by and 2 years go by or a month goes by and weeks go by and you're looking around. Now you're believing for healing, but remember, you're only believing for healing because you don't have your natural healing and you're in patience to get to the finish line. You're not at the finish line yet, so when you're in patience, you're not at the finish line of healing. That means you have the symptoms. You have the poverty. You have the trouble. You have the struggle. You have the opposition. And if you don't realize that when you, in that patient side, you're not supposed to be able to see a natural light at the end of the tunnel. That's not faith. If there's something you can see to grab onto, there are things I've believed God for and believing God for. There's nothing on the horizon naturally that would say, yeah, that's going to come to pass. Or yeah, you'll have that. Anybody been there? Everything else is testifying that you're not going to have it. You better be comfortable in that patient side, being able to naturally look at things and not be moved by them. And just because the natural testifies of how impossible and is loud about how it's never going to change, and look, it's been months, you can't let that trouble you. It's called fainting if you do. Go to Romans 4:19. This is helping you. I know it is. Because this is where people get tripped up. They start doubting themselves. They start listening to thoughts. No. And we'll help you with this. We'll keep helping you before we close here. Romans 4:19. Look at what Romans 4:19 says. Now this is talking about Abraham. Remember, God promised an old man a child. And it didn't happen until he was 100 years old. Sarah's wife, 90. That's a miracle. And not being weak in faith. Now remember this. Now think about this. Husband, wife, before all the fertility things and science and stuff, there's only one way. For children to come on the scene. Yep, there's only one way. And that requires things in people's bodies to work correctly. And the Bible said about Abraham, he considered not his own body now dead. What does that mean? He still has a heartbeat. But the things in his body needing to make a child, dead. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. A woman's womb cannot be dead to have a baby. But that was the facts of life. That was what they were seeing every single day. Every single day, Abraham's body would have been saying, a kid? Every single day, he would have looked at his wife. She don't look the same when she's 90 as she did when she was 29. Things have changed. Things are different, right? Every day, the natural's testifying. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But look at what Abraham became skilled at. He became skilled at the point number two, that faith is not of the seen realm. Who gives a flutie-tootie if you can see it or not? If you can see it or not, does not determine whether you're going to have it or not. And that's what people think, I can't see it, it's not working. No. Faith is of the realm that you can't see it. When you're in true faith, there's no sign of your healing. There's no sign of your situation changing. There's no sign of your prosperity. And Abraham got good at saying, there's nothing to look at that we can say, yeah, we're going to have a baby. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, not being weak in faith. You know what weak faith people do? They say, well, how can my bills be paid when the bills say this much, but my paycheck's only this much? Why are you even considering your own paycheck to pay your bills? Is that where your faith's at, in your paycheck? If it is, you better get it out of your paycheck. Well, this medicine is only doing a little bit to take the edge off, and it's not. And they say this medicine won't cure. Why is your faith in the medicine? I don't know. You have to be good. I can tell you a bunch of stories. One that comes to mind is in the South Dayton Church, when we were building the new building. We had the money raised and everything, and the funds are there to pay for it. And they come tell me that we're going to need a new sprinkler system, and the price keeps going up to, service versus $20,000, that's $40,000, that's over $50,000, then it's going to be almost $100,000 because of something that the water was across the highway and just all these things, and it turned out to be about a $100,000 project. Well, I don't have a problem believing God for $100,000. $100,000 is nothing to him. You might get tripped up by it, but he's not tripped up by it. So I asked the Lord, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know do I believe you for the $100,000, or do I believe you that we're not going to have to put a sprinkler system in? Because faith rests on the knowledge of God. I need to know a foundation. Where am I going to put my faith? If you want me to believe you for the money for some reason, I'll believe you for the money. If you want me to believe that they're going to turn it around, I'll believe that. Well, he clearly spoke to me. Believe that you won't have to put the sprinkler system in. Well, let me tell you something. Naturally, in my mind, it would have been a lot easier to believe for $100,000. You want to know why? Because naturally, the contractor said, New York State has passed a law, and the contractor said it. And I don't know anything about contracting and things and all that kind of stuff, building buildings. The architect said it, and the building code enforcer in South Dayton all told me at separate times, there's no getting around this. It's a New York State law. We will not let you have this building and pass the code in this and get you in here and approve you if you don't have the sprinkler system. You got to have a sprinkler system. But God told me to believe that I won't. Abraham's body said, you ain't having a kid. And Sarah's body said, you're not having a kid. But God said, you're having a kid. Amen. Well, in the natural, there's nothing for me to grab onto to believe what God had said to me. But God told me, believe that we're not going to have a sprinkler system. So I went into the faith process and said, Father, I received that in the name of Jesus. I believed that. And so then it was in my heart and started getting in my mouth. And every day I'd say, Father, I think we're not going to have a sprinkler system. Well, they had started putting it in. There's actually the beginning framework of a sprinkler system in our mechanical room at South Dayton. I found out they were starting it. And I said, stop this. Is there other things that you can do without holding up your progress? I said, just stop. I want you to stop this. I didn't tell them why I wanted them to stop it. I said, stop it. Will you stop it? Yes, we can stop. We can learn our things. I said, okay, because I need some time. Because faith and patience. So every day I confess, Lord, I think you're not going to have a sprinkler system. Well, in the natural, I mean, I keep calling them. So do we have to have that sprinkler system? And the professionals are telling me, yeah, you got to have a sprinkler system. Well, let me tell you what. The natural was a talking to me. Because months went by, and we're getting to the point where the contractor's now calling me saying, hey, time's getting short where we can't move forward without putting this in the building. You know, because it's got to go with underneath the ceiling, all that stuff, you know. We're getting to the point, Pastor. We got to do this. I'll let you know when to do it. Don't worry. God's not going to hold up progress. God's a God that's on time. Amen. But the natural kept saying, no, 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 no. And there was nothing for me. There was nothing. They didn't come back and say, you know, they're thinking of maybe changing the law. Or, you know, the South Dayton guy, it's South Dayton. We'll just let you get away with it. No, no, no. They were strict. You're having to do this. But God told me, we're not going to have to do it. So I choose to believe in faith, but I stepped into patience. And one day I get a text message on my phone. Pastor, you're not going to believe this. Well, you must not know me then. I'm a faith man, not a doubter. Pastor, you're not going to believe this. New York State just passed a law. They had a special meeting, they said, told me all the different courts things, where the building of your size no longer needs this sprinkler system. Because you might think to yourself, Pastor, don't you want people to get sprayed on if they get a fire? In our building, the contractor, the building enforcer, and the architect said it's ridiculous. The people that make these laws aren't the ones that build the building. Said you do not need a sprinkler system in this building. It's not unsafe at all. So I didn't want it. Lord says not to do it. Okay, Lord. So you're not gonna believe this. They passed the law. You don't have to have it. Praise God. I kind of giggled, looked, and showed my phone to court. Said it came to pass today. But my point was, there were so many opportunities to fumble the faith ball. Why? Because there was nothing I could see. But you better renew your mind. Amen. That in that faith journey, in that patient side, there's going to be nothing to grab onto. And that doesn't, and that'll testify against you that it's not going to come to pass or that something's wrong. No, no, it's part of the process. Amen? Amen? And number three, renew your mind to this. Go to Numbers 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Praise God. Better renew your mind to this and that patience, or you're going to get tripped up and stumble and fumble. I live by these principles. Numbers 23, verse 19. Here it is. God is not a man. You need to know that right now. God is not a man. Aren't you glad? Why? Men fail. Men let you down. Men struggle. Men have issues. God's not a man. The best of the best men and women that you know have flaws. Stumble, trip up. I know you're thinking to yourself, not you, Pastor Mike. No, I'm telling you. That was sarcasm. I know you're thinking, yeah, you too, Pastor Mike. But God is not a man. Well, why does he say that? Well, one thing men do is they lie. They don't tell the truth. And the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, shall he not make it good? What's he saying? God doesn't promise things and then not follow through. That's what liars do. What am I telling you? Renew your mind to the fact that God can't lie. It's not that he chooses not to lie. He can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Say, what does that have to do with anything? Why does that stand out? Go to Romans 4:21. I'm almost done. Romans 4:21. Praise God. Romans 4:21 says, and being fully persuaded, how did Abraham get to have a 100-year-old body, a 90-year-old every birthday that goes by testifying you're not going to have a child. How did he get, was able to do that? You know what he had his mind renewed to? Being fully persuaded that what he had promised. Abraham had his mind renewed that God said it. He can't lie. God told me we're not going to have a sprinkler system. I know what the contractor, the building and code enforcer is saying. I know what the architect's saying. But my God is not a liar. And if he said we're not going to have it, I don't care what the natural says. If the Bible and God says healing is yours, it doesn't matter what your body says or what the doctors say. If God says he'll meet your needs, it doesn't matter what your paycheck says or your bills say. If God says whatever, fill in the blank, that's the point though. You need to grab a word from God. Because when you get a word from him, you got your victory. Get a word from him and hold on tight to it. Don't let it go. Let me tell you how discouraging to my natural flesh and mind it was when months would go by and I'd talk to the architect and say, I'm sorry, Pastor Mike, you have to do this. Well, what did Pastor Mike do? Because there's no scripture that says you won't have to have a sprinkler system. But when the Holy Ghost speaks it to me, the Holy Ghost is just as much God as God is. It was just as much chapter and verse when the Holy Ghost told me, you're not going to have a sprinkler system. So how did I become fully persuaded? I knew God wouldn't lie to me. So you need to find a word on your situation and renew your mind to the fact that God won't lie. It doesn't matter that the naturals testify. It doesn't matter that naturally it looks like he's lying to you. He can't lie. If you'll have faith, what he has said will come to pass. I don't care how much time goes by. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care if it's going backwards in the wrong direction. He can't lie. If he said it, he'll do it, praise God. And all he needs is your faith. If you'll renew your mind to these three things, that patient side of faith, and you won't get it through one sitting. You better go back and meditate and meditate. For those of you coming to South Dade or listen to that service tomorrow, you're lucky. You get to hear it again and get it in you. Because this is the area that causes people to stumble. Because why? We wake up and we feel it in our bodies. We wake up and we see it in our checkbooks. We wake up and we see it in our children, in our circumstances. We hear it at our jobs. All these things testify day after day after day after day after day that it's not going to happen. But if you renew your mind to those things, you'll go through it untouched. And you'll get to the end, praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word tonight. We're just so grateful, so thankful. If you want to go back, brothers, and get the communion stuff, we're going to take up communion. If I could have everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. Please, nobody looking around. Father, we're just so grateful for the word tonight. We're so grateful for what you've imparted to us. And Lord, we talked a little bit about the new birth and how when we get saved. And Lord, that's the greatest promise we could talk about. We talked about a lot of different promises, but the greatest promise is that we can be born again and be saved. If you're here tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, now I'm serious. If you haven't listened to me all service and tuned me out, listen to this and please just do what I'm asking you here. Ask yourself in your head right now, if today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question because someday it will be your last day on planet Earth and you need to know that you're going to heaven because God made it simple and he loves you so much and he wants to make sure you're going to heaven. He wants to become a dad to you. If you're here tonight and you can ask yourself that question and the answer is, I'm not sure, Pastor Mike. I think so. I hope so. I don't know. I'm here to tell you how you can know. You can walk out of here knowing that you're God's and that you're going to heaven someday, whenever that will be. When you die or Jesus comes back, you're going to be with Him in heaven forever. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, I won't embarrass you, won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. If you're here tonight, you could say, Pastor Mike, I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. If you want to receive Jesus here tonight and know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if you want this to be a new day for you, a new beginning for you, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody here that wants to receive Jesus for the first time? Don't let this moment pass you by. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you forward. You won't have to say anything on your own. Is there anybody in this service? You've never received Jesus. I always give it a little time because sometimes people are shy. You want to receive Jesus tonight, lift your hand high in the air. Is there anybody at all that wants to receive Him before we close the service? Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all before we close? Just lift your hand high in the air. Anybody at all? Praise God. Praise the Lord. I saw your hand, buddy. I saw your hand. Now I want to tell you something. You don't ever have to do this ever again, okay? This is your day, okay? All you have to do is ask Jesus into your heart. So we had one hand raised. So let's go ahead. Now, buddy, I want you to pray this with me. We're all going to pray it with you, okay? You say these words out loud. Do you believe in Jesus? You do, don't you? Say these words out loud with Him. Everybody say, Jesus,
I believe
that You died on the cross
for my sins.
And I believe
that You rose from the dead.
And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. Buddy, you're saved. You never have to raise your hand ever again. Even if you were saved before you came in here tonight, this is for real now. Praise God. We got it done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise His name forevermore. Brothers, go ahead and come forward and serve communion. We're going to take up communion now. This is a time of reverence, a time of worship. So we just ask everybody to just kind of worship God where you're at. Don't be talking to your neighbor and don't be, fussing around with your stuff. Just kind of focus on Him and thank Him. And we'll go over communion in a little bit. If the kids are in here and you've never done this before, you take that juice and that bread. Don't eat it. Don't drink it yet. We'll talk about it later. But for those kids that are in here, this is a great time to just close your eyes and just tell Jesus thank you. Start thanking Him for all He's done for you. Thank Him for a mom. Thank Him for a dad. Thank Him for a house. Thank Him for where you live. Thank Him for a car. Thank Him for your clothes. Thank Him that you get to go to heaven. Thank Him that you're healthy. Lord, we thank You for so much. You've been so good to us. So kids, you just go ahead and you thank the Lord. He's proud of you tonight for doing that. We thank You, Jesus, for everything You've done for us, for all You've given us, for all You've provided for us. We love You so much, Lord. We're just so thankful for all that You've given to us, for all that You've provided for us. Oh, Lord, we're in love with You. Jesus, You're so good to us. You've done so much for us, Jesus. You've blessed us so much. Thank You for dying on that cross. Thank You for paying the price for us. Thank You for making it so we don't have to go to hell. Thank You so for giving us eternal life. Thank You for giving us the blessings of heaven here on the earth. We glorify You. We magnify You. We praise Your holy name. We worship the name of Jesus. We worship Jesus. We honor You, Jesus. We glorify You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. We magnify You. Thank You for dying on the cross. Thank You for sacrificing for us. Thank You for paying the price. Thank You for doing what You did for us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Come on and just thank Him tonight. Thank Him that you don't have to go to hell. Thank Him that He healed your body. Thank Him that He provided for you. Thank You that He loves you so much. You are the apple of His eye. He cares for you so much. He loves you so, so much. Oh, Lord, we praise You. Oh, Lord, we bless You. We honor the name of Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus. We glorify the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for everything You've done, for everything You've given. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread." Now, kids, he's talking about the bread here. Jesus said, "And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So the bread represents the body of Jesus that was broken for us so that we could be healed. So let's break the bread and let's go ahead and let's eat. Hallelujah. Lord, we're just so thankful for the body of Jesus that was broken for our healing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It says in verse 25, "After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes.'" So the juice, kids, represents the blood of Jesus. Now, what did the blood of Jesus do? When Jesus was killed, his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It wiped all our sins away. So let's go ahead. Let's drink the juice. Lord, we thank you so much for what the blood represents. The juice represents the blood, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and makes us whole. Let's stand to our feet tonight and just worship him before we go. Lord, we love you and praise you, and we glorify you, and we magnify you. We thank you for your mercy. Come on now, it's way too quiet in here. He's done way too much for us to not thank him. We thank you for it, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Kids, come on up and we'll give you your prizes. Go ahead and put music on, Elaine. That'd be great. Thank you. Hallelujah. Kids, come out here and line right up.